An unjust law is no law at all, St. Augustine. Justice will not be served until those who are unaffected are as outraged as those who are, Benjamin Franklin. Good day. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Nikhila Batisse, and today the topic of discussion is miscarriages of justice, or more specifically, errors of impunity within the police force. What are miscarriages of justice? They are known as failures of the justice system where an innocent individual is convicted of a crime that they did not commit, or a guilty individual is not convicted for their committed crime. The latter scenario is referred to as errors of impunity. This topic has been predominant in the headlines for the past couple of months. However, this is not the first time that miscarriages of justice have been leading in the news stories. I would like to take it back a few years and use a case that is described as being the birth of the Black Lives Matter movement, the case of deceased Michael Brown versus then police officer Darren Wilson, and this case should be our focus for this discussion today. For those of you who are unfamiliar with this case, on August 9, 2014, Michael Brown was fatally shot by Officer Darren Wilson. Michael Brown was an unarmed black 18-year-old who had recently graduated high school. Brown and Dorian Johnson were walking in the middle of the street towards the home of Deshuria Harris, Brown's grandmother, when police officer Darren Wilson stopped the pair. Reports from witnesses were in stark contrast to reports from Officer Wilson and the St. Louis County Police Chief John Belmar. According to Johnson, Wilson drove up very closely to the two, almost hitting them. He continued stating that Wilson allegedly tried to forcefully exit his vehicle, but the door made contact with the bodies of Wilson, of Brown and himself before flying back at Officer Wilson. Officer Wilson then allegedly grabbed Brown and made threats before firing his weapon at Brown. Johnson affirms that a wounded Brown and himself tried to escape. However, Wilson exited his vehicle and followed Brown before shooting him a second time. Brown then allegedly turned with his hands in the air as a symbol of surrender when Wilson proceeded to fire several more shots into Brown, who died at the scene. In an interview, Police Chief John Belmar declared that prior to the shooting of Brown, Brown had physically assaulted Wilson before struggling for the officer's gun, leading to a shot being fired within the police vehicle. Chief Belmar then confirms that Brown was later shot by Officer Wilson a few feet away from the vehicle. This case has 40 witnesses, yet each gives varying details as it pertains to what transpired. They have different numbers of gunshots released, different events that led up to the shootings, etc. This is the first issue in the case, unreliable witnesses. When this happens, the details of the incident is blurred, and it can make it difficult for a jury to make an unbiased, unanimous decision. Unfortunately, there is no documentation of the detail of the account of details from the police side. This brings us to the second issue, which is individual misconduct on the part of Officer Wilson. Officer Wilson stated that he did not know that his portable radio was on channel 3, while it should have been on channel 1, the main station used by the department. Hence, when he allegedly radioed shots fired and asking for backup, it did not dispatch. Whether this was intentional or a mere mistake, we do not know. However, what is certain is that it was Officer Wilson's duty to ensure that his radio was on the correct channel so that he could have proper communications with the officers back at the station. This brings us back to the unclear picture of the events and causes a situation of he say, she say. Luckily, forensic science can be used to paint an image of the scene based on the evidence collected. Speaking of forensic science, an autopsy report stated that due to Michael Brown's height, his head had to be bent downward with his face near parallel to the ground and the top of his head facing the shooter when the gun was discharged to produce the face and head tracks that were seen on his body. This contradicts Officer Wilson's testimony that Brown was running toward him when he fired the last few bullets. This is the third issue with the case, improper testimony from Officer Wilson. His account of the initial fired gunshots matches a forensic analysis of the wounds on the body of Brown. However, his described positioning of Brown does not fit with the evidence with regards to the last gunshots fired, resulting in the head wounds and face wounds of Brown. Naturally, one must ask, did Darren Wilson use appropriate force to protect himself, or did he murder Michael Brown? Was there any other means of detaining the situation without a trained police officer killing an unarmed 18-year-old? Now that we have gone through a number of issues in this case, let's discuss how these issues can be prevented in the future. Firstly, each police officer should be required to wear a body camera while on duty to ensure that an accurate account of an incident can be assessed by the force if need be. This eliminates the issue of unreliable witnesses as well as the issue of improper testimony. Secondly, police officers should ride in groups of at least two to reduce errors and individual misconduct. The increase in persons should increase the probability that proper procedures are followed and reduce errors, as hopefully an officer can identify and correct any errors that their partner may make to lessen any impact that these potential errors may have. For instance, in this case, the second officer could have had their portable radio on the correct channel 1 so that there would be a recorded account of this incident. Lastly, each officer should be required to carry an array of weapons that can be utilized before escalating to the firearm. During his testimony, Officer Wilson stated that he did not carry a taser because he found it too bulky. What if he did have a taser that day? What if he had used it before reaching for his gun? Could the taser have impaired Brown and allowed Officer Wilson to de-escalate the situation? Could Michael Brown have been alive today? I was taught that the police goal is to detain the situation with the least amount of force required. Was 7 shots into the body of Brown the least amount of shots required on that day? This case has been investigated a total of 3 times by prosecutors. In each instance, Wilson was not charged. This case gathered so much attention that a federal civil rights inquiry of the Ferguson Police Department was conducted in response to the civil unrest caused. 3 years after Brown's death, his family reached a settlement in their case against the city, where they filed a wrongful death lawsuit. Was justice served in this case, or was this an era of impunity? Brown will never have his day in court, since at each grand jury hearing, it was voted that the case does not need to go to trial. What are your thoughts on this? This is where I leave you, ladies and gentlemen. I would like you to ponder on the discussion that was held tonight, examine the points that were made again, and decide within yourself whether this case should have gone to trial. And if it had went to trial, do you believe that Officer Wilson would have been convicted of the murder of Michael Brown? Thank you, and do enjoy the rest of your day.